They may not know everything about sports, but the view from their couch is pretty good. So kick back and enjoy a brew, because you know they already are. Here is Eric Dorsch.
They're crazy enough to let me be in charge.
Russ Ivanek.
8 out of 10 from the judges. 5 out of 10 from the German judge.
And Justin Marcus.
Our best defense has been long, hard, and yellow all year long.
This is Armchair Sports Talk.
All right, we're back. We are back after a couple of weeks off. This is Armchair Sports Talk. I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. We missed you guys. We missed doing this. What's weird is we haven't done a show in like 3 weeks, and we've probably had on our text thread enough content to do a show every week. We just couldn't make it all line up. So we're back. We're ready to go. Russ Ivanek's here today, the stat man, and believe me, we are going to pick his brain when it comes to numbers today, Russ. You're going to have to do a lot of work today.
Well, luckily I've done far too much math for my own good, and I'm ready to just sit back, enjoy that we're back, enjoy that football's back.
Football is back, and we are going to be talking a lot of football today. What's weird is you say football's back, and in reality it is for the Hall of Fame games tonight, but for our show, I feel like football never leaves. Somehow we always have a little bit of football in our show, no matter what. It's the middle of, like, April, and we're still kind of talking football in some way, some shape. It's odd. We never get away from football.
It's like that little red bump that you should probably get checked out. It's just always there.
Speaking of little red bumps, Justin Marcus is here, and we've seen you with some serious sudburn. I can call you the little red man this time. Jay, I'm happy you're back again. We've got a lot to talk about, and a lot of it's stuff that I want to get your opinion on, because you are kind of the, you know, you're the heart and soul of the guy. You give us the direct answer, no censor. We're going to get everything we get. And 9 times out of 10, I have to tell you what you can and cannot say on this show, because if I don't, this could go way, way off. And you'll understand what I'm talking about when we get a little further into the show. But real quick, I told you I was going to throw you guys a little bit of a curveball, and this is the curveball. It's a pretty easy one. And it was sparked from a little Bleacher Report notification that longtime kicker Phil Dawson signed a one-day contract to retire as a Cleveland Brown. I want to get your guys' opinion on this. Guys going back to their original team and signing that one-day deal so they can finish that way. To me, I don't get it. You're not really a Brown. You're not going to put the pads on. You're not going to kick a ball. You really are going to retire for whatever team you were on last year. And I just don't really understand it. I get the sentimental side of saying, oh, so-and-so officially retired as this. But you're not really that, because you didn't play for that team this year. You're technically whatever you were last year. You're a Philadelphia Eagle or wherever he was. But, Russ, what's your opinion on this? I know you said pre-show your answer was no. So I'm assuming it doesn't bother you.
Without knowing the question at all, I answered no. I've got to stick with it. It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, it's 100% for sentimental reasons, and that's just fine. It doesn't make an impact on one thing or another. So the fans get a little, oh, he does love us. It's fine.
That's fine. No, I'm totally okay with that. Jay, I know I'm going to get a great answer out of you, so I'm not even going to try to build this up at all. Where do you sit with the whole coming back and signing the one-day deal to retire? Like if Greg Monroe decided to come back and sign as a Piston when he's ready to retire for one day, I feel like it wouldn't mean that much to me. Like, you're not playing. You haven't played here in years.
I couldn't possibly give two more shits about anyone trying to do something like that. Like, when Mike Modano decided to leave the Wings and go play Dallas for, like, a day just to get, like, that's the same dumbass shit. I have zero patience for that, nor do I have room for sentiment for that. So, Phil Dawson, what, he was a 49er? That's who he retires as.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go back to your first girlfriend and go, you know, have a victory lap with her, or, you know, go back to your first job you ever had and do the same thing. So why allow it in sports? So,
my friend, I could tell you a family story that proves that theory wrong. I really could, but I'm not going to. That's not here or there, and I am very afraid that family member might listen to this show. So we're not going to do that. no, I get the sentimental side of it. No, it's cool and it's great, but I don't know. It doesn't mean, like you said, Jay, it doesn't mean a whole lot. Like, yeah, you're technically a 49er. That's where you were last year. if like it'd be different if this guy signed a 1 year contract and he played part of the season, then yeah, you get to retire as a Brown. But you're not gonna suit up. You're not gonna, you know, you're not gonna kick a ball. You're not gonna come out on the field at all, except to probably, you know, wave your hand during, you know, alumni days like Jason Hansen does. But that's it. You're not retiring a Brown. So to me, it just doesn't mean as much. It's kind of we'll see what happens. I just and as I was driving in, I couldn't even think of a guy that it would mean that much to me, because most everyone that we care about from these teams retired as a member of these teams. So
think Verlander.
See, it wouldn't mean that much to me because I, you know, in a way I have sort of kind of moved past Verlander. My brain has disassociated him with as a Tiger. He's an Astro now, and my brain's there with that. I'm okay with it. But
yeah, I would allow JV as long as Kate Upton shows up. So we all win.
But to me, like it would be comparable to like when his career was ready to be over, like Maglio coming back or Brandon Inge signing a 1 year deal with, or 1 day deal with us so that he could retire a Tiger. It doesn't.
Can we retire the name Brandon Inge from this podcast?
Yeah, that's fine. Sorry, Brandon. We tried to talk about you, but Russ has controlling stake in this, and we got to retire your name.
Yeah. Arms like a blacksmith.
Dude, the guy could have been great if he could have figured out how to hit a baseball. One of the most fundamental things of the game, he couldn't do. So, yeah, but like I said, it just, to me, it was kind of weird. Like, I feel like we see it a lot more lately. You see guys signing one-day deals so that they can finish as that player. And it's like, well, you haven't been a player on that team for a very long time. So, it to me, it's just, it doesn't make sense. It's almost like, why broadcast it? Like, there's no reason to. Everyone that needs to know about that was sitting in the room when you signed the one-day deal. So, that's how I feel about that.
That's fair.
But, and I worked my way right into a transition here, guys. I had to work it around. But speaking of deals, the Lions made a pretty nice deal this past week. And it's one that we're going to get to what the impact of what it means overall to the team. But before we get to that, I want to get your opinion on what the impact is just getting this solo guy. Forget everyone else that's lining up with him, Jay. What does getting a guy like Mike Daniels, guy's a great defensive tackle, they're going to move him around too, he's going to play other spots. What does getting a name like this mean for this team? Take away the fact that you got flowers and snacks and all that, just this guy coming in and putting on Honolulu blue and silver.
I think it's great, just because it's within the division he gets traded from, right? So we get to have him go against the Packers twice. I feel like that's a narrative that a lot of people can get behind on the defense, that he got ripped off that team and he was a veteran presence on there. I read a lot of stuff about the Packers moving on from him based on his size and the scheme that they're going with age and arm length. And I was like, dude, if you're a veteran, you bust your ass and then you get cut. I understand the money part of it because the deal wasn't too lucrative, but I love the addition on D with him, and I cannot wait for the Packers games because maybe someone can step on a Packer this time and we'll allow it. So I love the storyline that's behind it all.
Well, I mean, and you're 6 foot, 310. That's what he's listed at. You've been in the league since 2012. You have 225 tackles, 29 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. You're pretty good. I'll just say it. You're pretty good for a defensive tackle. Those are numbers I can live with. Russ, when it happened, and this might be a weird comparison, and it might even be a reach of a comparison, but to me, like you said, Jay, it was in the division. To me, this felt like what it would have been like if in 2006, Brian Urlacher had decided he wanted to come be a Lion instead of a Bear.
You're right. That is a little bit of a weird comparison.
Well, I'm thinking of a name that everybody knows. Yeah. Like he's a good defensive player, and I would stretch to argue, can you name a better defender in the early 2000s in the NFC North than Brian Urlacher?
Oh, no.
That's what I'm saying.
I think it's a bit of a strange comparison because I don't think Mike Daniels is quite of that ilk, though he is good. I mean, NFL top 100 three of the last 4 years. The guy deserves the $9.1 million contract he got.
Yep.
I just, even though I pure straight hate the Bears, Brian Urlacher is in hallowed ground.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I get your point, being that it's in division and a big talent swing. Well, it's really important and probably means we're a little more likely to knock Aaron Rodgers out of another game, which is fun.
Yep.
And that's worth the contract in and of itself, right? This is the first thing thought of, though, when the signing happened is nobody's running on this D-line anymore.
No.
I mean, they finished with the 10th-ranked rush defense last year after being horrible the first 5 weeks, right? Brought in snacks, changed overnight. Mm-hmm. They became an elite run-stopping unit, and now you're adding Mike Daniels to that? Man, if we had more than one good corner, this defense might be good.
Yeah.
No, can I bring up one thing about the signing as well?
Absolutely.
The thing I love the most, and I think it's because I'm emotionally based, is, yeah, when you look at the run-based defense, like, that's going to be excellent. But the things that he was saying was boggling my mind. 13 teams called him. He wanted to play for Patricia. Calls him a genius, and he thanks God that he got cut. Like, we had a guy who's getting paid a lot of money, but he wanted to be here. Like, when's the last time we've been able to say that in Detroit, that a guy, a veteran presence, wanted to be in Detroit?
That's
from another team.
From another team, yeah. I mean, it is tough to, it's tough to pick one. It really is. I mean, I think the only one, and this is just from speculation I heard, the only one I can think of is Tate, but he knew we weren't going to be able to give him the money to be here. So he wanted to be here. He just knew the money wasn't going to come around for him to be here. So, and a guy like that who's at the top of his game, you can't really say, oh, yeah, well, you want to be here, then, you know, let us pay you $5 million less. That's not fair to him, and that's, you know, not fair to ask of him. So, no, I agree with you. Someone of that caliber that wants to be here is just, it's awesome. And I really like it. Like I said, we're gonna talk about what, you know, what impact this has on the team altogether, but I just think, if you take everything else we've done in this offseason away and you add this, I mean, you just look at this, this to me is one of those ones that says, you know what, all right, any little lack of faith I had in Quinn, I'm starting to get back by the fact that you went out and you got one more really, really, really good piece to solidify what you're assuming is your head coach's strength, and that's defense. You gave him his defense. He has no excuses now why this isn't his defense. Year one, you could say, all right, he's a new coach. He's got to semi-deal with what we already have because we can't necessarily afford to go out and sign an all-new defense. So he's got to work with what he has. But now year two, contracts have expired. Guys have, you know, moved on. And you can look at it and go, all right, I want that guy, that guy, that guy, and that guy. We can afford all of them. I want him here, and that's what I need. And they have it now. So to say that Patricia has any excuses on that defense, I think the only thing can be that, yeah, he has a poor secondary, but he still has one of the best corners in the league. I think they're going to be a lot better this year than, you know, all around. Not just the run defense. All around, I think they're going to be better.
Well, I hope so.
So we're going to – I do want to talk about what this means for all together. And, you know, in my usual way, I have a couple questions for you guys. I always do this on the fly. I never really give you guys too much of a tip here. So, Russ, I'm going to let you make the first prediction here. The question is – Lions, top three in sacks in the NFL, or rushing yards allowed, or both?
I'll say just rushing yards allowed. Okay. The one complaint I have about this D-line is there's not really a game-breaker as far as pass rush goes.
Mm-hmm.
We had Flowers and Aguara. I think they both had 7.5 sacks last year. That's good, right? But it's tied for 24th in the league. That's not a premier pass rusher. As a unit, they're probably going to do pretty good, and they get a lot of rush from the linebackers. But seeing what this team can do with the rush defense, ooh, they better be top five in rushing yards allowed, or something has gone wrong.
Okay, that's fair. Jay, are you going to take top three in sacks, top three in rushing yards allowed, or dare to dream they go for both?
I kind of have the same mindset as Russ, because between sacks and interceptions, which I think are the most crucial plays, obviously, like, we lack in those. And I think as a whole, like Russ was saying, they're going to be just fine. But to kind of echo what Russ was saying, we still need that one or two guys that pop up and create those sacks or create those turnovers to really flip the defense on. So I think they're going to be average as a minimum. But, you know, start putting in these younger dudes and let's see who can make plays to turn that to a whole other level for them.
Okay.
So I'll go with the rushing.
Rushing. Okay. I'm going to agree with you guys on the rushing. I think anyone who thinks this defense isn't going to be a top-tier rush defense is you know, they clearly either have never watched the game or they're just smoking a lot of, you know, jazz cabbage, and they need to dial it back.
Jazz cabbage. That's a good one, Grandpa.
The devil's lettuce is my favorite one, and I'll use it later. But I would like to, and again, the point of this show is for us to give our opinions, and, you know, every once in a while we do like to, you know, go have a little bit of a back and forth. So I will say that I want to make one point here and how I think they could be top, maybe not top three in sacks, but they could definitely be one of the top five, six teams in sacks. And that's just for the fact that on any given down, you're going to have at least Flowers, Daniels, Okwara, and Jared Davis more than likely coming. They're coming at you. So my important question to ask is, who do you double team? And once you double team that person, who on earth do you think is going to be able to go one-on-one against Trey Flowers or Mike Daniels every down? There's no one that I can think of.
And my counter question is, who is covering a tight end or a slot receiver more than 3 seconds
so that
the pass rush can get there?
And that's fair, but I'm also saying the fact of we've seen what happens when you get in these quarterbacks' face that fast. And again, that would be my only point to it is that when you put your hand in the dirt on first, or when you get ready, and these guys put their hands on the line on the first down, you have Snacks Harrison, Daniels, Flowers, again, all these guys coming at you. And granted, first down is usually a run down. That's fair. But I just don't know how any quarterback can comfortably say they're going to have 3 seconds. These linemen could be on their butts very quickly. And then if you are not Michael Vick, you're probably going to eat AstroTurf. That's just how I feel about it.
Yeah, that answer could be Jahani Tavai.
Oh, for covering the tight end?
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. We got to see how he does.
Hopefully.
We got to see how he does. That's actually a good call. But I'm just saying, like, and part of the names I'm mentioning is my second question I have to you guys. But they're going to be a top rush defense team. That's great. But I also would not be surprised to see this team be very good at getting to the quarterback, because in reality, all you have to do is tell these corners and these linebackers 3 seconds, count to three. If you can stay with the guy with you, and granted, there are some names we're going to talk about that's a stretch to ask for. If you can stay with them, oh boy, do you have a good chance of not having to worry about the ball being thrown, because these guys are some of the best at doing what they need to do. And I can't think of an offensive line we're going to face this year that you can say, oh yeah, we can have the left tackle and the right guard, or the left tackle and the left guard double, and our center and guard and other tackle are going to be able to handle everything else that's coming on top of a running back. So we'll see. And that's a stretch, but I think there is a good reason to support. We could potentially be a top sack team this year.
Maybe as a team, and I think a lot of it has to come from the linebackers, because as much as I think this is a top five defensive line, none of them have – I think Flowers is the only one who's had a double-digit sack season his entire career.
Okay.
So as a group, they might be pretty good at it. But, like, look at the Chargers and the studs they have. It's a different breed to have one of those top five sack defenses.
Yeah. And again, like I said, I'm probably reaching a little more than I need to here, but I'm also looking at the names and kind of working through some stuff and in my head saying, this is something they could do. They could do it. But this is the Detroit Lions. They could also, you know, not be very good at all on defense. So
let's not think about that.
I was just smiling ear to ear when you're listing off all those names.
Well, you're about to smile even more, because I'm going to list these names again. And this, I will agree, is a tougher question. And I don't expect either of you to have like a definitive give me the answer right back. But I have to ask the question, because this is a team that for years and years we're not used to having that many marquee names spread across one side of the ball. If anything, most of the names we have are offense and defense. We don't just have a lot of defense to talk about. So when you go through it and you say Daniels, Flowers, Snacks, Deshaun Hand, Jared Davis, Kennard, A'shaun Robinson, Okwara, Slay, Coleman, Diggs, can either of you honestly give me the last time the Lions had that much talent on one side of the ball. Doesn't have to be defense. On one side of the ball, they had that much talent lined up on the field.
Jesus.
When Robert Porche was with the team.
that was the first one that came to my mind, honestly. That was – and that's Herman Moore, Barry Sanders, Porche, and, you know, Corey Schlesinger. And that's about
right where
you tap. That's what I'm fair to say. That's where I'm saying, like, when people say, oh, the Lions, they're getting ahead of themselves. When is the last time we've had this much talent on one side of the ball? Not the whole team, on one side of the ball. And you can make an argument that the offensive side of the ball isn't that terrible either. There's still some holes, but they've been dealt, they've made some improvements in some key spots. So, because I didn't even mention the fact that you got Stafford, Amendola, Galladay, Jesse James, Kerryon Johnson, C.J. Anderson, Marvin Jones.
Hawkinson.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's the one thing I question is naming a rookie. I think he's going to be good, but I need to see him play football. After the one or two preseason games where I at least get to see how he does in a little more live-action setting, you get a feeling. Because all these guys out of college that are first-round picks, they clearly were pretty good in college to be first-round picks. So I want to see a little bit. But yes, Hawkinson's another name that you got to mention. So I cannot think of the last time we had this much talent on one side of the ball.
No, it's been a long time, probably my whole life.
Yeah, and then for me, like I don't go back into the depths of the history of the teams. I didn't start watching them as intimately as I do now.
Yeah.
But like, if call it drinking Kool-Aid or whatever, I'm all in on this defense. I told you guys as soon as we got Patricia, I want him to focus on defense. I don't give two shits what happens on the offensive side of the ball. And I feel like this is finally the first time he has a decent product to put out there.
Yeah.
One of the other names is Justin Coleman. He was another addition to the defense as well. So I am all in on this damn defense this year.
Yeah. No, that's the other thing I think that is so crazy. You just meant, and I had Coleman on the list. I may have skipped him when I was reading all of them, but.
Because his name is Justin, I get it.
No. Not even that. I probably, because there are so many names I had to list, I may have jumped him on accident. But, and he's a big one. But that's the thing. As I was putting that list together, I'm going, all right, we got him. We re-signed him. And I'm sitting there going, there's one I'm forgetting. And I went on the site and I'm like, crap, we signed Justin Coleman. And he was one of the early signings. So when you have that much off-season movement and that much addition that one of the big names is actually one that goes over your head, you kind of go, yeah, this defense might be pretty good this year. They really might be pretty good this year. And Russ, you kind of keep pointing to it, and I kind of agree with you on it. I would have liked them to see them address line, like actual linebacker, not guy that can kind of play linebacker and defensive line. I would have liked to have seen them address that a little bit more, and they really didn't.
Yeah, it would be nice to just have one plus difference maker there.
Yeah.
Maybe Jared Davis can become that, but right now he's an average starter. If you want to be an elite unit, you need to have a difference maker on each level.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, and I said I wanted to talk about it, and I want to – we're going to briefly talk about it because we've got a lot to talk about tonight. Justin, I'll let you go first because you're usually our schedule, you know, the guy that doesn't really give us as much credit as we think we should get when it comes to the schedule and the wins and all that. How much does Daniels coming here – and now that you kind of get a complete picture of what this defense is going to probably look like, does this defense buy you a few more wins than you were already willing to give them?
I don't think Daniels really tipped the scale because I was already pretty confident in it. But Snacks, Flowers, Coleman, Daniels, you draft Tavai, you have Will Harris and Austin Bryan as well.
Mm-hmm.
You only lose Quinn, Ziggy, and Hyder. And then you have A'shaun Robinson, Aquara, Slay, and then all your average dudes. Like, I feel like collectively we're at least getting 2.5 more wins on the season. And I don't think that's a stretch to even say that, because if we solidify, like you said, one side of the ball, oh, well, now Stafford gets more opportunities because we're going to shut teams down, hopefully. So I would put it at upward, you know, put the line at 2.5, I'd go over, because okay. I think that this defense is really going to show something.
Okay. Russ, the same question, but I mentioned this to someone the other day, probably in passing, and I want to get your opinion on it too. So same question of, do you think this defense buys you a few more wins than we already expected with the addition of Daniels? But two, does this team kind of seem like one that if the offense can get to a certain number in the way of points, you feel comfortable?
So I'll start with the second one because it's the one fresher in my mind. I'm not really comfortable with it because the more they're up by, the more likely the other team's going to be passing, and that's playing into the perceived weakness of this defense right now.
Yep.
If you want to say, hey, just one drive, am I more confident in them than before? Oh, hell yeah. And I'm more confident in them being able to claw back into games, which, hey, is Stafford's – it's his forte anyways, right? So I think we're going to see a lot of close games and not really let other teams get away. But I don't know that we're ever going to say, hey, 21 points, game's done, lock it in. God, I wish. Wouldn't that be nice to have that? I think that we had that one game last year where we felt comfortable.
Yeah.
Dolphins, yep.
Yep, the Dolphins game, yep. As far as the other question, though, what does Daniels add to this? I think 2.5 wins is a little rich for a 16-game season. But I can see it being one win that he adds just because not necessarily what he can do, but what he can free up everyone else to do. Right now, this is in a rotation of A'Shaun, him, and Snacks, where they don't have to play as much. They can be fresher. You can kick him outside occasionally, give the edge rushers a blow. Like, rising tide lifts all boats, and that's what's happening here. So, yeah, I had him at 9-7. Might be able to push him to 10-6. More realistically, I'd probably keep him at 9-7, but I just feel a little more confident about it.
Yeah, yeah. And the two teams I'm going to give as an example here, a follow-up to the question I asked, these are two teams that over the last 20 years, their staple has been defense. So believe me, I'm not trying to put them on that pedestal. But going back to like the early 2000 Urlacher Bears or the Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, Ed Reed defenses, again, not putting us in that pedestal yet, but those were teams that noticeably were, if your offense could get to like 14 or 21 points, you weren't going to beat us. So that's more why I was asking it of, is this defense starting to slowly appear to look built up to the point of, if we can get our offense to put up maybe two or three touchdowns and a couple field goals, are we able to not sit back, but necessarily go, yeah, you know, this, if we can just keep doing what we're doing, there's no way that this team should catch us. That's more why I asked that. And okay. It's a stretch to assume because we haven't seen this team play yet. We're doing all this on speculation.
Yeah, true. We are. But hey, that's what we're not getting paid to do, right?
That's what we're not getting paid to do. We're doing this out of the kindness of our heart. So,
But I mean, if Coleman is as advertised, right, and one other defensive back steps up and proves to be a quality starter, this could be very different because those horses you were talking about earlier get to just pin their ears back and chase the quarterback. And yeah, then we can be dangerous. I just need to see more from the secondary first.
That actually led into my last question, and this one's real brief before we get into our top tens. And Russ, since you named him, I'm going to ask you, we know why we signed Coleman. He's not necessarily an every down kind of guy. He's more of a, for certain packages and that. Do you think there's any chance that if this secondary just starts looking that bad that Patricia looks at him and goes, we're paying you a lot of money, it's time that you and Slay become the 1-2 here?
Oh, hell yeah.
You think so?
I would expect at least early in the season for him to get some looks outside.
Okay.
We're trusting Tease Tabor? Like, really?
No,
Melvin? Really? Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he sees a good amount of time early in the season outside with him and Slay. And hopefully someone else jumps up and he can move back into the slot where he's more comfortable and more effective.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that, I think. As you say that, I'm looking at the corners we had. Yeah, I guess that would have... Yeah, I guess that probably... That would have been... Yeah, it's not going to be...
It's iffy after that, right?
It is. And honestly, the guy I was just about to mention, I don't know why. I had Tavon Wilson as a corner, and he's a strong safety. So,
yep.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it does get very, very thin. But you kind of wonder with... I see a lot of safety and free safety talent. You kind of wonder if Patricia gets a little experimental here and maybe tries to see what Will Harris or, you know, even Tavon Wilson or someone can kind of do at that corner spot. Because if you find someone that can do it, it doesn't matter what your original position was. If you can play corner or you can play a certain position at an effective level, they're going to put you on the field until you prove you can't do it anymore. So,
right.
And Patricia is supposed to be, you know, this defensive great. So he's supposed to know what he's doing. So who knows? He could get creative. He could get experimental and We may see some guy line up at corner this year that we had no idea was going to play corner this year. But,
oh, yeah. Spring break on the football field. Let's get crazy.
But I do agree with you. I do agree with you that I think early on Patricia's going to test it and see. If Coleman can stay outside and handle the number two receiver, I think you see Patricia go, we might need you to do this for the whole year. I mean, we'll give you some blows when we can give you some blows, but you might be our number two corner for this year. And I mean, if you're Coleman, you can't really say no to that. That's kind of a, that's actually a position bump for him coming as a specialty guy. So we'll see. Yeah, I think this defense is going to be a lot of fun to watch. The offense, we still have question marks there, and I'm sure we'll get, you know, we'll get into that a little more as we watch this preseason unfold. I said it to you guys. It's an early prediction. I don't know if it'll happen or not, but I do honestly believe that, not from a, you know, putting up yards and touchdown perspective, I do think you're going to see a big effect coming out of Danny Amendola. I think he's going to kind of be that guy who is going to, his only goal is going to be just find a cushiony area, get open, and know that if Stafford can't find Galladay, can't find Jones, can't find James or Hockenson, he's coming to you. Theo Riddick was that. Theo Riddick was that get out of the backfield kind of guy, and if Stafford needed to dump it off, he could dump it off. You got Galladay doing that. I mean, you got Amendola doing that. And Amendola did that pretty effectively in New England for Brady. He's been known for that kind of thing. So we'll see if he keeps doing it. But that would be my prediction, that I think Amendola is going to make a big effect on this team. It just may not always appear on the stat sheet as much. Because Tate did that a lot too, but Tate also showed up on the stat sheet when he did it. So we'll see what happens. All right, well, I think we've put it off long enough. Let's get into the real argument. Us being crazy, we decided we're going to do it. We're going to rank the top 10 quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and defenses. We shared our list with each other, you know, ahead of time. And I got to say, I could see a lot of disagreements coming along the way here. A lot of names were similar. The positions they were at were not very similar. So I'm going to lead it off here, and I'm going to lead it off for one thing. And this is one thing I have to apologize to. If he's listening to this show, and I highly doubt he's listening to this show, but if he is listening to this show, Andrew Luck, I am so, 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 so sorry. You deserve to be on this list. I just completely forgot. Honestly, and the only reason I didn't go back and correct that is because I already had submitted the list. I have to stick with what I chose. But I am so, so sorry. The bearded one 100% needed to be on this list. So that being said, my list, starting at the bottom, I have, I'm doing a Justin here. I cheated, and I have 11 because these two are tied at 10. So I got Derek Carr and Deshaun Watson at 10. I know Russ is upset about that because Deshaun Watson is Russ's boy. Russ likes Deshaun Watson. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, and I have him on there because he might not even play this year, but everywhere he goes, he's good. Plus, any dude that can show up with a gold chain and a track suit to a post-game press conference, you're all right in my book. But Fitzmagic's been good everywhere he went. Has he been phenomenal? No. But he seems to play more than the guys you're drafting to start, so there's got to be something there. I find it insane that every year he goes through either unsigned or he gets signed and he gets stuck in a backup role until week six when they realize their best quarterback hasn't played half the year. So, next one I think unanimously made the list for everyone, and that's Baker. Baker Mayfield, this guy's going to climb this list very quickly over the next couple years, I think. But for now, be humble. There's some guys in front of him that I just don't think can get past, or he can get past right now. Phillip Rivers. I'm not a big fan of Phillip Rivers, but you can't deny the numbers. He's a good quarterback, and that is what it is. This is the one that I think Justin probably would love to call me out on, and that's Matt Stafford. I have Matt Stafford at 6. And the reason I have Matt Stafford at 6, Jay, is for one reason and one reason alone. Take the wins out. I want you tonight, after we do this show, you're going to sit down, you're going to have a nice, you know, glass of whiskey or something and just relax. I want you to go online and look up Matt Stafford's numbers compared to Aaron Rodgers' numbers. Because I promise you, over the last couple of years, they're not as shockingly different as you seem to think they are. It's just the fact that Aaron Rodgers gets wins.
You can even do that with Breeze. If you compare Breeze and Stafford, there's a very not that big of a gap between a lot of things. In
that's
there too. So I know what you're getting.
I would strongly disagree with that.
With what? With Breeze?
Yeah, with Breeze and Stafford.
Breeze, I would disagree with. I'd have to look.
Maybe
I haven't
it
looked.
Was,
Breeze.
I saw it recently. Maybe it was Rodgers.
It was. Someone
that.
Did a blind poll where they just put the numbers out of Rodgers and Stafford. And Stafford unanimously won. Like, it was like 70% picked Stafford when it came to the numbers. I'm telling you this. And a lot of the reason is because Stafford, one, is the stigma of being out of the Detroit Lions. But two, he doesn't win. They don't. If Stafford was winning 11 games a year and winning a playoff game or two, Stafford would be very hard to keep out of the top five. But the fact of the matter is, he's on 7-9, 6-10 teams that don't win playoff games. And he's got to throw for 4,000 yards a year just to keep the team even remotely, above water. So I'm putting Stafford on this list. In reality, you could make an argument for him to be a little higher, but I'm going to be fair and he's at six. He's comfortably at six. Excuse me. Number five. This is the one that I think you're both going to think is a little low, and that's Patrick Mahomes. But I have him low because guess what? He's only done this once. He only did this past year. Was it amazing? It's phenomenal. It was great. Let's see him do it again. Now that every defense knows what they're getting, they know what to expect. Year one, no one really had a lot on this guy. They knew he could chuck it a mile, but no one expected him to make no-look passes and all this and that. If he does it again this year, I'll shut my mouth. I'll put him at the top of the list and keep him there until someone tells me not to. But for now, he played amazing last year. I got to see him do it again, and then I'll feel a lot more comfortable saying that he's a top three quarterback in this league. Breeze, I don't have to justify why Drew Breeze is at the top of this list. The guy's got records, and they're just going to keep growing. Aaron Rodgers, which, Jay, as I just proved, Aaron Rodgers could go lower on this list, but it's Aaron Rodgers. He's great. End of story. Tom Brady, because till the man retires, you can't be the greatest player of all time and not be high up on a top 10 list for quarterbacks if you're the greatest quarterback of all time. Joe Montana wants to come out of retirement for a week. He gets to be on this list for a while because it's Joe Montana.
Oh, my God.
But what if he signs a one-day contract?
Exactly.
No, Russ, you already said we can't do that. So, no. But it's Tom Brady. Justin, you can argue it all you want. It's Tom Brady. He's very
gross.
Good. And he could drop off this year. He could pass for 2,000 yards and they could bench him. Don't think it's going to happen. But for right now, he's still good enough be a quarterback in the NFL. So he gets to be on the list. And then number one, and I don't know how I'm going to defend this, but when I made this list, this made the most sense to me, and I'll stand by it. The number one quarterback, in my opinion, in this league is Russell Wilson. He is the most efficient guy. He literally has to play with very minimal talent. I mean, other than Marshawn Lynch and Doug Baldwin for a while, he really has not had amazing talent around him all the time, but he's still an amazing passer. He gets that team to win. And I just think Russell Wilson is the number one quarterback in the NFL right now. So that's my list for top 10. Dear Lord, be kind to both of you. But Russ, I'll let you go now. What do you got for your top 10?
Okay. I'll start off in the same order you did. I took Big Ben 10. I don't feel good about it at all. I was trying
you
to make
shouldn't.
The case for I was trying to make the case for like Stafford or Wentz to take him over. Wentz is just hurt a little too often for us to really know what he is. And Stafford, I almost put him there instead. But Ben, maybe it's a product of his weapons. But his efficiency numbers, his numbers at home especially, have just been better than Stafford the last 3 years. I don't feel good about it, but he's at 10. Nine, I got Rivers. Last year he was number six in pretty much all the big quarterback rankings. But his completion percentage and his interceptions the last 3 years kind of bring him down there.
Yep.
Eight, Deshaun Watson. There is only two quarterbacks of the last 3 years who average over 200 yards passing and 30 yards rushing. Deshaun Watson and Cam Newton, who turns the ball over way too much.
Yes, he does.
So Watson's there. Newton's not.
Okay.
Seven is where I have Russell Wilson. I kind of go against you on the efficiency thing because – completion percentage-wise, he's 24th in the league over the last 33 years. Maybe he's done more with with the least amount of support than any of these other quarterbacks I'm going to name, and that's fair. Maybe I'm undervaluing that a little bit. But per play, defense-adjusted yards, defense-adjusted value, he's fringe top 10. So he gets him a little bit higher than that for me.
Okay.
Six, Rodgers, because it makes me happy to keep him out of my top five.
That's great.
also, his yards per game and his completion percentage are not inside the top 10.
That's fine. So this next one, I want to understand how you're going to defend, though. I need to know how you can justify top five here.
Mm-hmm. So I have to describe my process a little bit to understand why I have Matt Ryan at five.
Okay.
Right. So I looked at a total of, six stats for last year and eight stats for the last 3 years. Ranked all starting quarterbacks on these ranks. It's stuff like defensive value over average, right? Defense adjusted yards over average, QBR, touchdown to interception ratio, blah, 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 lots of stuff. Their flat aggregate, weighted aggregate, did a different weighted aggregate, right? Did a whole lot of math stuff. Every single one of those categories, Matt Ryan was in the top 10. He's the only quarterback in the league who has more than 20 games started and is in the top 10 of every one of those categories. That is astounding. Now, if he could throw the ball to Julio Jones in the red zone, maybe he'd be even better. But alas, he doesn't, and my fantasy teams continue to suck because of it. But this is a guy that, if he's a defensive lapse away from winning a Super Bowl, right, and dethroning the Patriots, and there's a different story on him. I don't know that 28-3 loss is really on him, and it really changes the story on him. But I keep him in the top five just for that consistency across all of those stats. But I understand that I'm going to be alone on that mountain.
Well, I think the loss will always stick with him from a viewer perspective, too, because you're like, well, you're supposed to be this elite quarterback. You just got a lot of money. And you gave up, and again, it's the Patriots. They're very known in the Super Bowl, but you gave up a lot, and they pulled it off. And it's not on him because he doesn't play defense. But I haven't analyzed the numbers like you. I don't think anyone in the world can analyze the numbers as much as you do. But I feel like Matt Ryan pre Super Bowl was so much superior to Matt Ryan post Super Bowl. I just feel like he never really got it all back. He just kind of there's still something in his head, kind of like Jay, like Jordan Spieth at Augusta. He can't get past that 12th hole. That 12th hole will haunt him for the rest of his life. I just feel like that's kind of Matt Ryan now, and he's not a bad quarterback, believe me. But he also has a lot of talent around him to not be doing monumentally better than he does. I will say that.
Yeah, no, he does have, well, and we'll talk about him later.
Talk about a couple.
yeah, how good his, wide receiver that he's throwing to is. But outside of Julio, he doesn't have a lot of wide receiver help now. He did more in the past, but take this one. Touchdown to interception rate, as amazing as Mahomes looked last year, Matt Ryan had a better ratio.
Okay.
Right, he does stack up when you start to dig into it a little bit more.
I know,
even though the perception is maybe justifiably not there.
I think when the list goes Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu, you kind of start wondering why this guy isn't throwing for 50 every year.
Yeah, and I think part of that was losing his offensive coordinator that he had that near-historic season with.
Very true, very true. Okay, back.
All right, moving on
and forward, yes.
Yeah, I did have the bearded one, Andrew Luck, on there.
So proud of you.
I want to thank you in advance for the oncoming Eric Ebron tweet of the disrespect that people in Detroit are giving that we don't have Andrew Luck unanimously. So thanks. He's already typing it.
Yeah, it's my fault.
Speaking of Ebron, that's why Luck's in my top five. He put Ebron in the Pro Bowl. I don't think I need to say anything else. Moving on to three.
No, you don't. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Yeah, Tom Brady. I think if I didn't put him in my top three, the disrespect alone would have guaranteed the Patriots another Super Bowl. I think that happens every time someone keeps him out of the top three. So I'm looking for someone else to win this year. Oh, damn it, Justin.
God darn it.
two, I had Mahomes. First in defense, defensive adjusted value, yards, QBR, adjusted value per game, pretty much everything. But I couldn't put him one for the same reason Eric had him lower. Let's see you do it more than once. was he the only player under 30 to throw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 passing yards in the history of the NFL? Yeah, that's only been done once, and it is him. So that once was a hell of a time. But, yeah, let's see it more than once and see where regression leaves him. For those keeping score at home, I haven't said a big name that I defended earlier, so it's probably pretty obvious who I have number one. That is Mr. Drew Brees. Set the completion record last year, broke his own record from the year before. This is a guy that his counting numbers are dropping, staggeringly so. But his efficiency numbers are climbing, it, like I said, with the completion percentage. He is heading off into the sunset in the most beautiful way possible and aging like a fine wine. I'm going to keep him number one until he retires, which may be this year after a Super Bowl win.
Very possible. Very possible. Assuming the refs make the right call, it could happen. I love the top of that list, Russ, because I've said this on the show before, and I know I've said it to you a million times before. You and I went to one game, and we watched this guy play, and I've said it, and I'll continue to say it until I see someone do it better. This is the best quarterback I have ever seen in person. How his ability to just handle anything that comes at him and change it and make this offense efficient is astounding. And he's doing it as not even a very big-armed quarterback. He really, by league expectations, does not have a huge arm. But the guy's got every record, and he's just going to keep collecting them. It's going to be insane when this guy's done. So, yeah, I love it. Drew Brees is amazing, and he'll continue, like you said, he'll continue to be amazing until he's no longer putting on the pads. So I'm definitely with you on that one. All right, Jay, I'm assuming there's some reasoning behind this, and I'm interested to see what it is.
All right, so when I did my list, I could have looked at stats. I could have looked at, past history and championships and whatnot, but I didn't. I'm going off of as of today. If I'm taking the talent as of today, how I emotionally feel about every single quarterback, that's how I rank them. So some of these reasons are not going to make any sense, but goddamn it, it's my list and I don't care.
That's fair.
Perfect.
Cam Newton, number 10, just because I'm an avid fan of Cam. He does have a lot of turnovers, but I'm taking Cam Newton over Matthew Stafford, and Stafford didn't make my list, so I had to put Cam Newton at 10.
Cam Newton, the best quarterback taking, the best running back taking snap under center. That's fine. Go for it.
I'm taking Newton any day of the week.
Go for it.
Number 9 was Mayfield. I'd love to see him go higher, but he needs a couple more years to prove himself. He got some new tools in Cleveland, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yep.
Jared Goff. I think I'm the only person who had Goff in there.
Yep.
I like what he has to bring. I love the atmosphere that he works in, the coaching, the defense. I have to include Goff because he's surrounded by talent. It gets a little streamlined from here. My 4, 5, and 6 kind of runs along the same lines as Russ, because we both had Luck, Ryan, and Rodgers in that field. Luck I have at before Rodgers. I just think Rodgers is getting older. And then Ryan I have 3rd of the list, but after what Russ just provided me on Ryan, it would make total sense to flip-flop Luck and Ryan around.
Mm-hmm.
Moving into the top 4, I can't wholeheartedly put Tom Brady in my top 3. And if that sticks to what Russ just said, that now they're going to win a goddamn Super Bowl, great. It's my fault.
Damn it.
Well, see, I'm not even upset about that Brady's not in the top 3. I just want to know how you're going to defend your number 2. Because there's no reason this guy should be anywhere near a top 3 for a QB list. I'm just... What's that?
So did he name Scott Mitchell?
He might have.
I'm only at 4 and good, sir. I'm only a couple numbers away. We'll get there.
I'm just letting you know.
To finish up on Brady, he's already past his prime. I feel like they already got rid of his successor way too early, and I don't see things being any better this year compared to last year for Brady, so that's why he's got to be out of the top 3.
Okay.
Mahomes, Eric, I'll echo what you said. 1 year, it was great. You can't pay me to put him as one of the top 2 quarterbacks in the NFL, nor would I draft him if I'm creating my own team right now. He's still a phenomenal talent. That no-look pass I could watch all day long, but he needs to have another year to copy what he did, or at least get, 3/4 of the way there on stats. Now, Philip Rivers, number 2. That's wild, Justin. Why did you do that? Well, he has 9 fucking children, okay? this man is as fertile as he comes, and he has so many kids, and he still balances a great career. He had a great year last year. Maybe it's the fatherly side of these things, but yeah, Rivers is too. Like it or not, that's where he's on my list.
Well, he has 9 kids, and I kind of wonder if he would trade one of them for a playoff win. I'd be curious.
If I had 2 kids, I would trade one. Oh, I do have 2 kids. I would gladly trade a kid.
Dude, you understand Philip Rivers could trade off kids and win 4 Super Bowls. You realize that, right? He'd still have a kid left over.
That's why he's doing this. He's ready for Rumpelstiltskin to make him a deal.
Yeah, dear God.
I would, if he won 4 Super Bowls, I'd have a better reason to put him at 2. But just because he has 9 children, that man deserves to be high on list.
By the way, I want to apologize to Philip Rivers for insinuating that you should sell your children for wins. That's very poor, but I had to make the comment. So,
hey, after what I've done for 6 collective years between 2 children, I guarantee you that's in the recesses of his mind that he thought about that.
It's possible. Don't worry. It is possible.
All right, so real quickly, Drew Brees as well. So, Russ, we kind of overlapped a lot. Eric, I agreed with some of your guys positionally, but Drew Brees got handed a certificate mid-game. Okay?
That's true.
That alone, someone stopped a game to hand him a piece of paper. You are the best quarterback in the world, so that's why he's number one.
All right, so law of averages will say that Mahomes, Brady, and Brees are the best 3 quarterbacks in the league. It's probably fair to say. So
I'm good with that.
And your next grouping's got Rodgers, Ryan, and Luck, kind of, yeah?
Yeah, did I reach a bit with Wilson? Yes, but when I watch him, because you guys know me, I'm the eye test kind of guy. When I watch this guy play, I don't see a lot of flaws in his game. He can move outside the pocket, throw accurately. He's got a good enough arm to make every throw you want him to make. So was I reaching a bit? Yeah, probably. But I'm also very comfortable in saying that this guy could easily be a top 3 quarterback, and it's you'd have a hard time arguing it. Like you said, Russ, the numbers aren't there, but you also agreed the talent hasn't necessarily been there to, you know, so he's doing a lot with what he's given. So.
Oh, yeah, he's not giving any support.
No, he's not. All right, Jay, here we go. I'm going to let the two, you just did your quarterbacks. Let's take it around. Give me your running backs.
All right. Well, I think we're going to continue with our trend of 10 to 1.
Okay.
I've got Devontae Freeman at 10, just because I felt like after you got past like 7 or 8, you could just throw in a whole bunch of different names.
Yeah.
But starting the 10, Devontae Freeman. Next is Hunt. I'm just going to leave that there. David Johnson is at 7 for me. I know he had an injury last year. Russ, how long was he out? Do you guys know?
He was out all year. Or was that the year prior?
Well, most of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, coming back from an injury, but still there's other guys that I feel like are more deserving ahead of them. This next guy pisses me off a lot, which is kind of hard because I really dug him when he was in East Lansing, but I've got Le'Veon Bell coming in at 7. I don't know how he's going to play for the Jets. I don't know how he's going to be a year removed from football. Obviously, he's focusing on a rap career, which is getting insanely annoying to see on Twitter. But I've always had the theory that the farther we get away from the football, the, you know, the crazier the player is. But he's the one carrying it most of the time, and he's acting crazy as shit. And I have issues with Bell, so personal reasons, I had to put him on the back end of everything.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey is just a flipping workhorse, and he probably saves Cam Newton's butt half the time.
Oh, he's the best quarterback on the Panthers, so.
Sure.
Yeah, I had to keep McCaffrey. Shut up. I don't want to hear that.
He's not even biting today. That's the best. All right, yeah, no, that McCaffrey's a good call.
I'm trying to be timely.
Yeah, McCaffrey's a good
call. Alvin Kamara starts off the top 5. He's just a G, but I think he's also a product of that entire offense, so. You know, put him on a team where, you know, you are the best running back and probably the best receiver out in the flat. Kamara comes down the list a little bit. Melvin Gordon, Ezekiel Elliott, those are my 2, my 3 and 4. I had a hard time where I was going to position both of them because I feel like they both have weaknesses and they obviously both have strengths because they're up there. But I had to put Elliott ahead of Gordon. Ezekiel Elliott's just a beast. Half a shirt, full shirt, crazy hair, jumping out of Salvation Army kettles. Like, he's got superior talent. We got burnt by him on that one play where he came out and went down the field, caught it, and we lost to the Cowboys last year. So
yes, we did.
He's a very versatile weapon, and I like him at 3. The next two is pretty simple for me. Todd Gurley is my number one running back in the league, and it's followed behind Saquon Barkley. I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the year those two guys actually switch spots and Saquon is, you know, destroying 2019, 2020. So I fully expect him to take over, but I don't think you can go wrong with the three that I've got up there between Gurley, Barkley, and Elliott, but as of right now, it's Todd Gurley's game to own.
Okay. I don't mind any of those picks. They're let's be honest. There's only a handful of running backs in this league that are elite, so this list is going to have a lot of overlap between the three of us. It's just a matter of where we put them. Mm-hmm. So that being said, I tried to be as, you know, equal as I could in, you know, picking these guys out. And my number one, I'm going to break my rule, but we'll get there in a second. My number 10 is Nick Chubb. It might be a little early to have taken him, but I, having seen this guy play in Cleveland, and it's in Cleveland, mind you, so you got to, you know, take that with a grain of salt. He appears to be a running back who is going to be able to get it done for them. If this team keeps improving the way they appear to, this guy's a guy that you're going to see get quite a few carries and be a real staple in this offense. And the thing is, a lot of teams are going to be keying on the two big-name wide receivers, so it's not all focused on him, and he'll be able to, you know, have a little bit of a chance. So I went there. Derrick Henry, any guy that can take a ball at 99 yards, you're pretty good. You're pretty good. And you're on a Titans team that, in my opinion, is not very good. So you keep doing what you're doing, and I'll keep watching Titan games just for that. Devontae Freeman, you mentioned him, Jay. He's a heck of a running back. He's on a team that has a lot of offensive weapons, and we'll see what he can do this year. I went in the NFC North here. I went with Dalvin Cook. Minnesota's got two good running backs. I like Dalvin Cook. I think he's a fun running back to watch. He's enjoyable, and I hope he has really, really bad year against us. That'd be great. I'm with you, Jay. Melvin Gordon, Zeke Elliott, they're both right there. They're interchangeable. I'm not a Chargers fan, so I don't watch them as much, but Melvin Gordon's usually at the top of every box score. He's a heck of a running back, and he keeps that offense going, so can't take him off. Zeke Elliott. He better get back to camp soon because Jerry Jones is probably going to kill him here pretty soon. Alvin Kamara, like you said, Jay, he's a product of that offense, and I agree with you to some point. But I also think there's very few teams you could put him on and he doesn't put up quasi-similar numbers. It might change a little bit just because teams have to key a little more on him as opposed to when you got Breeze and you got Michael Thomas, you got a lot of other pieces. But this guy is a very, very good talent. And regardless of the team or the situation he's in, he's going to find a way to get every yard he can. So I like him for that. I had Todd Gurley at 3. The only reason I had Todd Gurley at 3 was because my number 2, I made the mistake of taking all the off-field stuff out of the way and giving him the benefit of the doubt. Otherwise, he would have been a lot lower. But Todd Gurley is an amazing back. But I just think when it's all said and done, if you're putting the pads on and telling these guys, run the ball, there are only two guys in this league that can be discussed. Number 2 is Le'Veon Bell, because when he played, he was the superior back to everybody else. He was just better. And I hate saying that because he's a Spartan, but he was just that good. You couldn't deny how good he was. But he's no longer the superior back in this league. The number one running back in this league, and this is where I broke my list, because he's only done it for 1 year. Let's see him do it again. And now that he's the number one on that team, because all their wide receivers are just dying, I'm taking Saquon Barkley. Because this guy, to me, when I watched him run the football, he is a once-in-a-generation kind of guy. The dude's legs are the size of freaking Mack trucks. He just breaks through the line. He can make you miss. He's a kid out there, but he looks like he's been doing this in the NFL for 20 years, and he has no problem with it. He literally looks like he's playing like everyone else is playing in slow motion to him, because he is just making everybody miss. He can do it however you want. You want him to take it right up the middle and knock people over, he'll do that. You want him to get on the edge and just turn it into a track meet, he'll do that. So I broke my rule there in saying, you know, let me see you do it again, but I just think there's not going to be a problem for this guy to do it again. I really think this is a guy that's going to be doing this year in and year out, if he can, it's New York, it's a big city, if he can stay out of the limelight and he can just kind of keep his head down and do his job, he should have no problem climbing up that rushing list. He really shouldn't. So, Russ, I'll let you go.
All right. I'll start with a guy that I never thought would be on my top 10 list, and that's one Mr. Derrick Henry, the breaker of fantasy hearts. You kind of touched on that. That's a bad Tennessee team. That he's in a bad situation, and it never really bears out. But if you look at his efficiency numbers, his per-play stats, dude's actually pretty good, especially when you adjust for the defenses that he's faced.
Mm-hmm.
So he sneaks in there. It was really between him and Cook, and I think Cook's just been too sapped by his injuries. Mm-hmm. If he stays healthy, easily changes.
Yeah.
Nine, David Johnson. If he had a healthy year last year, he might be higher up, but I really question him coming back. I still think he has the ability to still be there, but we'll see where it is. I got McCaffrey, 8. He's going to be higher next year. There's no two ways about this.
Absolutely.
I just need to see a little bigger track record from him, but dude could play receiver and he'd still be a starter. 7, I put Kareem Hunt. Beside my better judgment, I left him on the list, off-field issues aside. The talent is there, maybe a little higher, but well, he is what he is. 6, I have Le'Veon Bell. He would have been higher before, right? He is an absolute workhorse, one of the few backs that you can trust to do that, both in the passing game and the rushing game. But he's getting up there in age. There's a lot of miles on those tires, and you could see the last year he did play, he started to slow down at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I'm worried what a year off does for him, so I can't quite put him in the top 5. Speaking of top 5, these 3 guys, you want to argue about any order they should be in, that's fine. I kind of see it as a 3-way tie between Gordon, Barkley, and Elliott. Elliott has the ability to be better than each of them. The dude needs to stop fumbling. But out of the running backs that I looked at, he tied for 47th in fumbles last year. How? Dude, I get that you get the ball all the time, and you were the only show in Dallas until they got Amari Cooper. But hang on to the ball, man.
Yeah.
Maybe if he wears the full shirt, he can tuck it in there, right? Like you shoot on the playground, and that'll just secure it for him. That would be a good idea.
There you go.
Yes.
Gordon and Barkley, I like a lot. Barkley, again, looks like a workhorse. God, he's going to have to be with New York. They don't have a lot else, especially with Tate getting suspended. And Gordon, if he could stay healthy, he has the talent to be a top 2, but he hasn't really proven that he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Death taxes, Melvin Gordon getting injured.
There you go.
Moving into my top 2 here, Alvin Kamara, one stat to throw at you. He's 11th in total yards, you know, rushing, receiving combined over the last 3 years.
Okay.
The catches, he's only played in 2 of those years, right? And he sits at 25th in touches per game over that time. So he's not getting the ball.
No.
And he's not getting a year, but he's still almost in the top 10 total yards for running backs. That's amazing.
Mm.
Yes, he's a bit of a product of a system, but you might need to say that about other players that are playing with him instead, because he's a driver of that. Number 1, I do have Gurley. His injury concerns me, especially what happened at the end of the last year. I don't buy that they said he wasn't injured, because dude looked completely different in the playoffs. During the season, number 1, touchdowns, effective yards, yards above replacement, value above replacement, rushing touchdowns per game. It's just almost anything. If he's not top 5, he's number 1. Just absolutely ridiculous talent. Maybe he comes out next year and he doesn't even get in the top 5 because he's absolutely fallen apart with injuries. But for now, I'm going to trust that he can bounce back.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they're all great choices. I mean, like we said, the lists are all going to pretty much be the same. It's just the order now because there's those guys that are clearly above and beyond. So this next one, I would say, is probably the one that's going to have the least amount of change to it because, again, there's only so many you can pick. But I am interested to see how everybody ranked them and where they put them. So, Russ, you just gave us the running backs. Let's get over to the wide receivers.
All right. So, I did the same stat thing that I did for quarterbacks, that I did for running backs. I won't drag you through the whole process again. Suffice to say, someone who just got paid to be the top receiver, he's going to do well on this list. Starting from the bottom, though, I had A.J. Green. I kind of figured that with the injury-sap seasons that he's had, I don't know that he's ever coming back for it, so I had to leave him on the outside. So it left me with Adam Thielen at 10, which surprised the hell out of me. But when I looked at all those weighted aggregates I did, he finished in the top five in all of them, which is crazy. I mean, he's a no-frills stud, so he gets to barely make the top 10.
Okay.
9, T.Y. Hilton, one of the best deep threats in the league. As long as Andrew Luck is not concussed, dude's going to be a stud. 8, probably a little lower than most people would think.
Yep.
But I have Odell Beckham Jr. Right, he's only played 32 games over the last 3 years. Yes, he's fourth in touchdowns per game, but it's because he is a volume monster. He's the only show in town, or was, and now that he's in Cleveland, there's a lot more mouths to feed, a lot more weapons. I don't think we quite see the OBJ seasons that we're used to.
Okay.
A guy I liken to him talent-wise, Keenan Allen, I have at 7. He's another guy you say, hey, if he can stay healthy, he'd be something. He's played almost the exact same amount of games as Odell Beckham over the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So we're very much in the same boat. Moving on to 6, I have Tyreek Hill. Thought about leaving him off there just out of principle. Kept him in because he's probably the best deep threat in the entire NFL. I just don't feel good about it.
Yeah.
5, Mike Evans. He's another guy that puts up a lot of numbers, but Ryan Fitzpatrick's thrown to him. Jameis Winston's eating crab cakes and maybe throwing to him. Like, yeah. We're not really sure. But he has put up great efficiency numbers, except for catch rate, which I think has a lot to do with his quarterback. So, 4, crazy man Antonio Brown. I can't even keep track of all the nicknames he wants us to call him. So I'm just going to say he's 4. He's good. Gruden's going to lean on him a lot because he loves his older receivers. It's going to be a stud year for him. Maybe just don't follow him on Twitter or Instagram.
No. Hard pass.
3, DeAndre Hopkins. If he gets a solid quarterback for 16 games once in his career, he's going to blow people away with what he can do. You can make the argument that he's the top receiver in the league, but he's had people like Tom Savage throwing to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, now that Deshaun Watson's there, as long as he can stay healthy and upright, this is going to be a hell of a season for Hopkins, who is putting up elite numbers regardless.
Oh, he gets a solid quarterback for 16 games. I would make the argument that 1,500 yards is not out of the realm of possibility to consistently do for him when he's being defended the way they have to defend him.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's the kind of guy that can go up and do that.
Yep.
Absolutely. He fits the name Nuke pretty damn well when it comes to a defensive strategy. 2, I had Michael Thomas. He's the guy with the big payday, highest paid receiver in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Led the league in receptions last year, was 11th in targets. That's an unreal catch rate, right? Unsurprisingly, number 1 in the league in catch rate. Dude, just stupid good. And if you catch the trend, I've got a New Orleans quarterback 1, a New Orleans running back 2, and now Michael Thomas 2 and wide receivers. This team better do something pretty damn good this year.
Yeah.
Because there's high expectations. And then number 1 overall, my top guy, Julio Jones, all the crazy numbers that he's put up has been with a complete ignorance of his abilities in the red zone. Like, if they just go to him, make a point of going to him for the first time in his career in the red zone, going to be crazy what he's able to put up. Hopefully we see it. Probably not.
You never know.
But I think he has the unique freak ability to be the number 1 receiver in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really argue it. And honestly, any top 3 you put together, you can rotate them, and I don't think there's any way to argue that they aren't the top.
Yeah.
So it's a nice way to go about it. All right, Jay, we've seen your logic. We've seen your reasoning. We're assuming we've seen logic and reasoning, and
now
you need to give us logic and reasoning for your top wide receivers in the NFL.
Hey, as long as it makes sense in my head, that's all that matters to me, right?
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton starts at 10. He's a threat deep, and I've always loved T.Y. I've always had him every single year in my fantasy team, and I just think he's probably one of the more consistent wideouts in the game right now.
Okay.
Hill is at 9, and again, we're going to do a hard pass on that conversation. Thielen's like the thing that doesn't belong in the group for me, but he still has talent. I don't know if he's the best wide receiver on the Vikings, but those flashy yellow gloves and the man just doesn't seem to go away. So we'll keep him on the bottom part of my list here.
Okay.
I got Devontae Adams next, and I don't know if any of you guys even had him on your list or not.
I did. Yeah.
Just outside for me.
Just outside for you. All right. So I think Adams has a lot more to prove for Green Bay. He obviously hasn't had the best Aaron Rodgers to help throw him the ball. The Packers absolutely collapsed without Rodgers. So I'm giving him a little bit of a bump in my standings in the hopes that he shows up this time. The better wideout comes in next at 9, 8, 7, 6. Diggs. Stephon Diggs. He's just a freak talent. Sorry, I had to count down for a minute. I like Stephon Diggs. I think he's the best offensive talent on the Vikings. He's very talented. So I've got him right above Adams and Thielen. Julio Jones. I can't deny what both of you have said about him. I just don't know if he's going to be able to continue to be as effective. So that's the only issue I could think of to bump him down behind my next guy, who's Michael Thomas. Russ just talked about it. The man got paid. He is probably going to be within the top three stat-wise for all wide receivers. I just so happen to have someone else ahead of him, which is probably a little crazy, which is Odell Beckham Jr. They've got no Tate for, I believe, 4 games. Saquon's a beast, and they have the weirdest quarterback in the league on that team. I feel like I emotionally put him higher than he probably deserves because I know how talented he is. He probably won't even be the third best wide receiver in the league this year. I think talent alone, he should be on my list.
Okay.
Two more talented guys above him. DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, he's a stud for Houston, but unfortunately, I have Antonio Brown as number one. Again, another guy who I, like, deeply watched between Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. I loved watching them both play for Central and for Michigan State, but they're both going a little crazy. But Brown is the guy who at least can back it up a little bit more. I feel like he's going to be an absolute threat for Oakland, and he'll probably have a great year on the field and an even more annoying year on social media. But I think he'll be the best wideout next year.
All right. Straight out of the gate, Jay, you and I have the same top three. We just order it differently. But before I get to that, I do have both of the Minnesota wide receivers on my list. I just twisted around a little bit. Diggs I have at number 10. I think he's immensely talented. I really do. But I also think when they put the pads on and they get out on the field, he is the number 2 wide receiver. He's very good. He's awesome. Adam Thielen to me is just a little bit better, and I justify that a little later on here. Staying in the NFC North, I do have Devontae Adams on my team. I think Green Bay would have a lot of problems this year if Rodgers doesn't have Devontae Adams to throw to, because, ooh boy, that team's going to have a hard time finding points, and Devontae Adams is the guy that's going to get them for him. Moving on, I have Mike Evans. Mike Evans is an amazing wide receiver for the Buccaneers, and he is, in fact, the only reason I would watch a Bucs game, because Jameis Winston, I don't know how he's still in the NFL. So Jameis Winston better take all that stuff he's stealing, sell it, and give it to Mike Evans as a bonus for making him even remotely look good, because he needs it. This is the one where, as I put this list together, I wanted to get him up higher. I really wanted to put him higher. And I think you can make an argument that I could switch him with the guy I have in front of him. Thomas got his payday. He got it, and he was a very good wide receiver. But when I'm looking through this list and I'm putting it together, I just had a real, real, real hard time getting him into the top 5 with all the names in front of him. He's an amazing wide receiver. He gets to play with an amazing, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he's just going to pad the hell out of his stats for the next couple years playing with him. But I just had a real hard time moving him past that. But he's an awesome talent. I think when we do this again next year, I definitely will have to put him higher, and I think I'll have a hard time not keeping him higher because he's probably going to put up another amazing season. Next is for Minnesota, Adam Thielen. This is the reason I have him higher. The guy just, to me, seems so sure-handed and so clutch. Is he necessarily the greatest athlete? No. But I honestly can't remember the last time I saw the guy drop a ball. He just seems to catch it every time it's thrown to him. And correct me if I'm wrong, that's the definition of a wide receiver. Just catch the ball. All that extra stuff afterwards, that's bonus. Catching the ball is the first thing you got to do, and he seems to have that down pat. So that's why I have him there. He probably should be switched with Michael Thomas, I will admit that, but I have him there. Now I dip over into Cleveland. I got Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry started the movement by going there. He started the movement. And to be fair, I don't think he's going to have as big a year. I think with OBJ there, I think he's going to see a little drop off. But this dude is amazing. Amazing. And I don't remember, Jay, you watched the Hard Knocks thing, the funny video he did when they made fun of him. But every time I think of Jarvis Landry, I just think of that video of him yelling at the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. But he's a great wide receiver. He really is phenomenal. And that's why I think he's got to be in this list. I'm a big fan of Jarvis Landry, and I hope he has a big year.
Hey, Eric, real quick, speaking of making fun of people, feel free to do that to me. I totally forgot OBJ's not on the Giants anymore.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't going to say anything, but you were starting to talk like he was. Yeah, I didn't want to poke that, but yeah, we were listening to you talk. I'm like, he's not on New York anymore, Jay.
Oh, my God. That's a bad look. That's a bad look.
See, if you hadn't said anything, we probably would have gotten through the whole show without anybody pointing it out. Now we get into the ones that I think you honestly can switch them any way you want, and you can't argue that they're the top. Julio Jones, he's an amazing – I keep saying it, but there's no other way to define it. He's an amazing wide receiver. Matt Ryan needs to be counting his blessings that he's got three wide receivers that are so phenomenal, but one of them is such an elite talent that how he doesn't like just lead the league in everything every year because he's so talented, I don't know. But – I wanted to have him higher, but the next one, Antonio Brown, the guy's a head case. He's an absolute head case. But he gets it done. He catches the football. It's going to be interesting to see how him and Gruden mesh this year. I just feel like he's got way too much of a personality for Gruden to be able to handle because Gruden's got such a personality. But it'll be fun to see. Jay, I have the other Cleveland Brown wide receiver, Odell Beckham Jr.
That guy.
Listen,
Cleveland, you said?
I'm not a huge OBJ fan. I'm not a huge OBJ fan, but I can't deny the ability. Yeah, was the one-handed catch awesome? It was phenomenal. It was great to see. But the thing is, he's made a living out of doing that now. He can do it on command. He's another guy that he doesn't seem to drop the ball. The one knock I would have on him is he seems very easy to get inside the head of. And to get him thrown off, and if you can do that, you're eliminating a big, big weapon that you're going up against. And I think he needs to work on that. If I'm OBJ, I'm in there with Baker, and I'm in there with Baker, a guy who's had to deal with criticism, has to deal with people getting into it, trying to get in his head, and just say, dude, what do you do? Because if he can block it all out and just play football, not get the stupid penalties, not do the stupid stuff, this guy could be really, really big for Cleveland. And last is DeAndre Hopkins. When I made this list, everyone else I had to rearrange and rethink all throughout. This guy I put at number one and I never moved him. And I'm not going to move him anytime soon because this guy to me is the complete package. He's speed. He's got the most sure hands. And I agreed with you, Russ. If he can get a quarterback for 16 games, I didn't want to say 2,000 because that's pushing it. Because, you know, that's reserved for some very elite people. But this is a guy that if anyone's going to do it, it wouldn't shock me if he did it. Because he's just that much better. I went through everything and I can't think of a team you could put him on where he's not a top three in everything every year. He's just that much better than everyone else. And so that's why I there's just no way to argue for me that DeAndre Hopkins is the number one receiver in the league. So we'll see what happens.
I'm fine with him being up there.
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously, we want to get to defense. The last one was tight ends. And, Ross, I kind of liked how your list went because I was struggling yeah. after I got to four on tight ends. But for me, there are three, maybe four tight ends, and then everyone else is just in a big group together. There are the few guys that are just that far ahead of everyone else. So leading it off as a as a joke, I put T.J. Hockenson at number 10. It was just genuinely because I couldn't think of anyone else. Fingers crossed he'll be on this list next year for the real thing. O.J. Howard, I like him. He's another guy. He was kind of fun to watch. He kind of screwed us. It was either this year or last year with some call that they went and reviewed 37,000 times and went through with a microscope. But he's still an immense talent. You go to Jordan Reed and Delanie Walker, two guys that are, you know, they're again, a lot of these guys are all kind of bunched together. But they're the names that you know. They kind of stick out. They're pretty good. Austin Hooper, he just kind of... He's just living the dream right now. No one's really talking about him because they're all talking about Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and Devontae Freeman and all that, but he's still a good talent. Right here is, to me, where I think you can start saying we've taken the step to the next one. And this first one, a bit of a reach, but watching this guy through Hard Knocks and then watching games, I think David Njoku is just going to be a beast in this league if he's given the opportunity. He's a man playing with children. He's just a beast of a guy, and I think if he gets a little more established in that offense, he could really, really make a difference. Going on, obviously, Kyle Rudolph, Mr. Reliable from Minnesota. He's a great tight end, and I'm sure he's just going to have another big year because that's what he does. I know nothing about George Kittle. I just know he's really good at football, so I'm going to leave that there. I don't watch San Francisco. They don't have a quarterback. Well, they have a quarterback that Justin loves that got hurt after two games because he was banging porn stars.
Allegedly.
No, fact. Fact. And then
fact.
And then these two, I've told Russ this many times. I've said this on the show. These two are just in a different league. They're just better than everybody else at their position. And they're honestly guys I do believe you could line up at wide receiver and they could probably crack the top 10 wide receiver list. They're just that much better than everybody else. Zach Ertz. And again, these two are guys I think you can flip flop and there's no way to argue that you're wrong. Zach Ertz for Philly, number two, he's amazing, but the best tight end in the league. I've said it for the last 3 years, even when Gronk was playing, Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the league. He's just that superior. And I hope he puts up a lot of great plays this year playing with Mahomes. Yeah, that's my tight end list. You'll notice that on my list here, I didn't have Kareem Hunt. I didn't have Hill. I thought about putting him on there, and I know you guys, for the same reasons, I just can't do it. Are they talented? Yeah, but what you do off the field holds merit in what you do on the field, and what they did off the field is just forget it. You guys shouldn't be playing football anymore, but because you're, you know, professional athletes, you get this privilege to be able to do what you want and somehow still get paid millions of dollars. So that's where I am. But for tight ends, Russ, what do you got?
All right. I did a top five. I'll give you five others. You can put them literally in any order. I'm going to say, okay, that's great, and continue whatever the hell else I was doing.
Okay.
So Rudolph, Cook, Greg Olson, Eric Ebron, regrettably, and Mark Andrews from Baltimore, which I really couldn't shake him. I don't know how. I don't remember him doing this good, but looking back through the numbers and what he did, maybe it's because there's nothing else for tight end, but dude is constantly up there,
mm-hmm.
yards, efficiency, whatever you want to look at. So let's pretend that was 6 through 10. Good job, everybody. We did great.
Very proud of you.
Okay. Yep. Number five, I have Hunter Henry. If he can stay healthy, you know, and play more than 60% of his games, he's got a chance to be higher. Four, I've got O.J. Howard. I'd like to see him do a little more because, hey, he's young, right? Only really done it once, but yep. He did have a top three season when he did do it. After that, well, script says pause for effect. Okay, there's a big gap, right?
Big gap, yep.
Before I get to three, which is George Kittle, who, again, kind of a one-year wonder so far, but far more prolific. He did some things that we really haven't seen very often and puts him in some rare company. Then I have Zach Ertz, who might be the most complete tight end if we start to bring blocking into it.
Yep.
And then number one, Travis Kelce. Just you look at the approximate value of tight ends over the last 3 years, last year, pick a year. He was the highest, and it's not even close, even when you include Gronk. So he's far and away, just a giant ass receiver that can also block. Right? Not his forte, but you just can't cover him.
Yeah.
Right. And you team him with Mahomes, it's just going to be crazy times. He's number one with a bullet. I really can't. I can't form an argument where he's not number one. I'll put it that way.
Okay, that's fair. All right, Jay, I'm on pins and needles right now trying to figure out what way you're going to go with all this. So, give me those tight ends.
We've echoed a lot of the same things. So instead of sitting here for 5 minutes, I'm just going to touch on a couple things.
Okay.
I had the same problem. It's the same problem when I even go to draft tight ends. The first couple go by, you're like, well, shit, I can do this in the fifth round. I can also do this in the ninth round. So there is a little bit of put them all in a bag and pick one.
Yeah.
The only guy who's at 10 who wasn't on your guys' list is Jared Cook. I like him a lot. He's been very dependable, and now that, you know, he has some more talent in Oakland, if he's still on Oakland, because God knows I've screwed that up a couple times, I think he's going to do just fine and be a top 10 tight end. Olsen, same thing Russ said about Henry. I really like Hunter Henry. I hope he gets higher up in the list.
Jared Cook plays for the New Orleans Saints.
Damn it, see, I knew he got traded, though. I knew
that was last year. All right,
Russ, so I agree. Rewind, splice, edit.
All right, so Russ, I apologize to you. I apologize to both of you, but tell me this. Jared Cook did play for the Raiders
He played for the Oakland. Yeah, he played for Oakland.
For the Oakland. See, got it. I got the Oakland.
You were right to some point, yeah.
Man, I almost went down swinging real hard.
All right. Give us your third Panther on this list now, Jay.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, so Cook, Olsen, Henry. Mm-hmm. I put Trey Burton. He does, in fact, play for the Chicago Bears.
That's true.
I do like Trey Burton. I think he has a huge skill set that is undervalued, and he will eventually get there. He also just has Mitch Trubisky, who hasn't really developed fully yet. So that's probably why he's down there. Ebron, right in the middle, whatever, go away.
Mm-hmm.
The top five that I have is similar to what you guys set off for the same reasons, between Jordan Reed, Delanie Walker, George Kittle, who needs to repeat what he did. It's the only reason why he's number three. And then you have Ertz and Kelsey as well. So I can't say anything else that you guys haven't already said about those guys. If I'm picking someone to leap into the top five and out from the bottom five, it's going to be Trey Burton. But that's where I got my tight ends, and hopefully they're playing for all the same teams that I said.
Okay, yeah, you seem to get almost everything right there. The only one I would question is Delanie Walker being at four, but that's fine. Like I said, there a lot of guys you can just throw them in a bag, pull a name, and you're not going to get too wrong. Because time is getting a little tighter and a little tighter, I do want to get to our other best of topics. So I think to save us a little bit of time, I'm gonna ask this question and we can branch from there. Can we come to the group consensus that the Chicago Bears are the best defense in the NFL? Two of us had them ranked at one. Two of us had them ranked at one, and Russ, I'm pretty sure you have them ranked at like two.
I had them at two, yes, and really I only knocked them because they lost Vic Fangio to the Broncos.
So I think we can come to the group agreement that the Bears are the number one defense in the NFL. Fair?
Yeah, I think as a group, that's going
to
be it.
Yep. I think if you have Khalil Mack, I think you automatically get to be in the top two. So I'm looking at Jay's, and I guess we'll branch off Jay's to try to at least come up with a top three. So Jay had the Texans at two. I know I had Jacksonville at two. Russ, I off the top of my head, I don't remember who you had at two.
The Bears.
Oh, I'm sorry. So who'd you have at one?
Chargers.
Okay, well, we're not talking about that. That's completely absurd. Chargers are a good defense. I didn't even have the Chargers on mine. Jay had them at the very end. So, I don't know if we'll be able to come to a group consensus there, because I like the Texans. I really do, but I don't know if they're a number two defense, Jay. I don't know. I think we might never get past agreeing that the Bears are the number one defense in the NFL.
Which feels dirty all over as Lions fans. I'm not comfortable with this.
It feels very weird, but at the same time, you just kind of you close your eyes and accept it.
That's not a good life strategy. Yeah,
that
people.
Sounded weird. That sounded weird. I had the Texans at five, so I guess
I had
the Texans.
Seven.
Yeah, Texans aren't that far off. Yeah, I don't think we're going to – I will say right now, Russ, I can look at that roster all you want. I don't think I could ever put the Chargers as a top five defense. I just don't know that I could do it.
I will see you in February.
That's why? Are we going to visit Philip Rivers at his home with his nine children because he's not playing a game?
We're good. I'll do a bunk bed.
Because he's not playing in the game in February, that's for sure.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, okay, well – yeah, I don't think, even if we tried, I don't know that we would ever come to consensus of a top. So, for the sake of it, we'll see how wrong we are, but the Bears are the number one defense in the NFL. That's what we're predicting. That's what we're calling. It feels very wrong, and I'm very excited to watch Snacks Harrison turn Mitchell Trubisky into a pretzel this year. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Moving on, this is one that I've wanted to do for a long time. We always seem to have enough on the show that we don't get to it, so I don't ever put it in the rundown. We had enough time this week. There wasn't a ton, so I want to get to this. Because I think this one could be interesting, could be fun, and I'm interested to see how much overlap we have in it. We're going to do our list of the top five movie athletes. So those guys you grew up watching in movies, then you realize those guys can't really do that. They get paid a lot of money to sit there and pretend like they can do it. But in our heads, they can do it. So we're going to do our top five movie athletes. Justin, no Air Bud.
Can't promise you anything, buddy.
And if you picked the goalie from Big Green, I'm going to have a problem. So no Air Bud.
Oh, my goodness.
That being said, Jay, go ahead.
Okay, so Air Bud.
Air Buddies.
Yeah, Air Bud 2. All right, no, for real, though. I don't really have an order, so I'm going to try to make it theatrical as possible. I'm going to pick the one that I'm going to guess Eric and I both have, and okay. That would be from the movie called The Replacements, and the one Shane Falco.
No. No Shane.
He's a Buckeye, by the way.
Yeah, no Shane.
No Keanu Reeves. No Keanu. All right, well.
I actually only have two football players on this list, and Shane Falco didn't make the cut.
Also, the whole premise of that movie is that he sucks.
It's true.
And that there's a better quarterback who won't show up.
All right, so nor did I not look at talent. I did not care if he won in the respective movie. I picked athletes that I watched as a kid that I was like, damn, I want to be that guy. So I want to be Shane Falco.
So then why didn't you pick Mike Wenchel from Friday Night Lights? He never wins. Oh, God. Okay, no, that's fine. Okay, Shane Falco. So
there's one. The second one. I guarantee you none of you guys have this. Rebecca Romaine Stamos played a one Aurora as a badass Russian in Rollerball.
So no more cowboy hot dog dog shit.
Can't we all just get along, don't you?
No, Aurora's right.
No more the cowboy hot dog dog shit.
No.
Have you seen Rollerball? It's got LL Cool J in it.
Yep.
Okay. Rollerball was like, Jesus, I need to play this game. Because first, I loved roller hockey as a kid. And the fact that it was just I don't know what year it was even placed in. I think it was 2070 something or something stupid. Rollerball looked like a legit game. And Aurora was by far, probably on looks and on talent, my favorite athlete in that movie. So. Rebecca Romaine Stamos made my list.
Rebecca Romaine Stamos, Rollerball. Okay.
All right. Second to last, Cheeseburger Eddie from The Longest Yard, which is one Terry Crews.
It ain't even being Jesus!
He probably could play that position if he wanted to, because he's just a freak of a man.
He did play professional football. He was a defensive.
Did he really?
He was a defensive lineman.
Yep.
He grew up in Flint.
Did he also play for the Raiders and then get traded?
No, I don't think so.
No, I picked Cheeseburger Eddie because I he was comical to me.
Okay.
By far, the best two athletes that actually were in the same movie together were the Bash Brothers from the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, there it is.
I was wondering
you guys
what
know. You guys know my style of hockey. The reason why I got into hockey, why I'm passionate about it, is the grittiness, the fighting. It's the emotional distress that one goes through on a hockey team trying to stick up for your players. I wanted to be a member of the Bash Brothers when I was a kid. I wanted the bandana underneath my helmet.
Those are the two dudes that stuck up in my mind in terms of athletes and movies. So there's my very interesting list.
Very interesting list. Very interesting.
The J special.
All right. now let's talk about athletes that actually played in the sports. Russ, give us your top five.
Okay. I'm still recovering a little bit. I absolutely love that he picked almost no pro athletes.
Yeah.
I love it. No, I actually get the point behind it. It's inspiring.
It's fun. It's enjoyable, yeah.
Yeah, it did. A similar logic influenced mine, although I did pick people that, you know, earned accolades in their in their sports.
Okay.
I'll start off with Roy Hobbs from The Natural.
I'm Roy Hobbs, your new right fielder.
That a boy.
19 years old, 8 no-hitters, and gets shot, right? Promising career, gets derailed, but still comes back as a star slugger in his years later. He's literally the soap opera version of Babe Ruth, right? Starting off as a pitcher, ending as a prolific hitter. I don't know what else I can say about that.
Nope.
Moving on, Forrest Gump, you know it.
Forrest Gump,
yeah. All-American in two sports, mind you, two sports. All-American kick returner for Alabama, All-American table tennis player.
Yeah, boy.
I meet the president a couple times. He got hit right in the buttocks.
Oh, yes, sir. Bit me directly in the buttocks.
Right in the buttocks.
I'm my man.
So jealous I didn't pick that one.
Not to mention his cross-country running accolades, right? Yeah, shit happens. Inspires the whole country. Dude's special.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe made up. Let's not talk about that. All right, number three. One Mr. Happy Gilmore.
God, son, what the hell are you doing?
364 more days till next year's hockey tryouts. I gotta toughen up.
Yeah!
You want to talk about raw talent? This guy was a failed hockey player, and they took his absurd swing. I think it was Padraig Harrington they took into sports science, and it actually increased his exit velocity of his ball by 7% trying to do it.
Oh, my God.
Is it feasible to do this? But no, there's math behind it, and I love it, so I'm taking Happy Gilmore.
Yep.
Number two, I went with Dottie Henson from A League of Their Own.
Go home.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Come on, Doris.
Those people are jerks.
What do you mean, some of us?
Do it.
Okay, some of them are going home.
Hey, how did you do that? Excuse me. Hey, you caught that? Hello?
Doris.
Okay.
Growing up, that is a movie I watched constantly as a baseball fan, and Dottie Henson was the reason that league survived for as long as it did, for as short of time as that was.
There's no crying! There's no crying in baseball!
And she was so good that you forget that one of the best catchers in the league was also on her team until she couldn't get out of her shadow as her little sister.
Yeah.
Number one, then, this guy, he's so good that there's a real statue of him in real life. He's so good that we forget that his movie was actually a romance movie when you go back and watch it. That's Rocky Balboa.
Mm.
Right, the slurring Philadelphia native who likes to beat up meat, and no, that's not a euphemism. Rocky Balboa inspired a nation. He beat the Russians. He made a friend out of his rival. And let's not talk about that weird robot he had. I think it was Rocky III. Let's just not. Please don't talk about it. Rocky Balboa, Hall of Fame. Also the first inductee into the Fictional Athlete Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Whatever that's worth.
Yeah, there you go. See, that's a good list. There was analytics behind it. He did the time. I like it. I'm there.
Eric, one quick question before we jump into yours. Are you a fan of Rocky? I know Russ is now.
I like Rocky. Yeah.
I've never even seen the movies.
Wow. That's disappointing.
Yeah.
I must break you.
Real talk. Sorry.
No worries. Great ones. I'm impressed. Of everyone, we only had one overlap. Russ and I overlapped once, and I'll get to it. I like my top five. I you know me, I always have to have the extras there. So I had three honorable mentions, and I'm amazed Russ didn't have one. My first honorable mention is Roy McAvoy from Tin Cup. Any guy that can be named Tin Cup and be a good golfer, you're in with me. Jonathan Moxon from Varsity Blues, because he threw an 80-yard pass while sitting on the bench reading a book. So he's good
DeMarcus
there.
Russell.
Yeah, he's good there. And this is the one I'm amazed Russ didn't have. I have Rick Wild Thing Vaughn from Major League. The dude is just that good, the haircut. I like it so much that in MLB The Show this year, you can have the Rick Vaughn haircut. And that's just, that's something. I'm with it. I like it. So those are my honorable mentions. My top five, number five, but he's number one in our hearts. That's Bobby Boucher from The Waterboy.
Gatorade.
H2O.
Gatorade.
H2O.
Water sucks. It really, really sucks. Water sucks.
Bobby Boucher from The Waterboy. His mama wouldn't let him play football, but ooh boy, was he good. It's a funny movie. It's great to see. And watching Adam Sandler just screaming as he tackles people, just enjoyable. But now we move on to what Bobby Boucher probably would have been like if he had played in the NFL. This is the one I thought Russ and I were going to overlap on, and we didn't overlap on. Danny Bateman from The Replacements. Coach told him to go get the ball, and he went and got the ball.
Danny, I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball.
I hope he didn't kill somebody.
So, Danny Bateman, I don't know how he's not on everybody's list. Just great. He saw red, didn't stop. Danny Bateman all day. Number three, and Jay, I don't know if you've even seen this movie. You claim to be a hockey fan, but I don't know if you've even seen this movie. Mystery Alaska, Connor Banks. The dude had a freaking rocket of a slap shot. Played in a pond hockey game and got an NHL contract. Connor Banks is an amazing movie athlete, and he shot a guy. He shot a guy in the foot and still got to play in the hockey game. So
I don't know if that's a plus.
That's some pro status there, my friend. Pro status. Number two, Roy Hobbs, The Natural. One of my favorite movies of all time. It's just amazing. So I'm not going to go into detail there because Russ covered it all, but Roy Hobbs, great one. There's our overlap. Number one, Jimmy Chitwood from Hoosiers. The dude never missed a shot in the entire movie. Never missed a single shot. How good was he? They didn't even want to run the play for him at the end of the game. He looks at the coach in the state championship and goes, I'll make it.
I'll make it.
Then he makes it. Jimmy Chitwood was a beast. Amazing. Fundamental. Had a great, great dribble. But the point I wanted to make, Russ, is I told you I was going to say who the best movie coach of all time was. I would find it hard-pressed to say that Gene Hackman is not the greatest movie coach of all time.
This time tomorrow, the strike will be officially over. Now, Dallas has made a big mistake out there tonight. They haven't been afraid of you, and they should be, because you have a powerful weapon working for you. There is no tomorrow for you, and that makes you all very dangerous people!
He coaches Danny Bateman and Shane Falco to a great game. They win it all. It's phenomenal. But then he goes back 50 years, and he's good at basketball, too. Coaches the Hoosiers to a state championship. Gene Hackman, the great Gene Hackman, is the greatest movie coach of all. I thought about that earlier today.
God. Why are you talking
about Jimmy McGinty is anything but a conventional coach.
Jimmy McGinty, no, I'm going to blink. Norman Dale for the Hoosiers. He is the best movie coach of all time. But yeah, Jimmy Chitwood was number one for me. Growing up, Hoosiers was a movie I watched all the time. And just the confidence to look at your coach in the state championship and go, I'll make it. And then he makes it. It doesn't get much better than that. Like, that's top shelf.
Do you know who else didn't ever miss a shot? Air frickin' Bud.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
That dog, that retriever. He was a football player too, because he was a golden receiver.
God, Jay, please stop.
I'm changing my list. Cheeseburger Eddie is out. Air Bud is in.
Cheeseburger Eddie. No, I mean, that's fine. We'll let Air Bud be in there. That's totally fine. Air Bud can be in there. but honestly, all these movies you grew up watching, movies you grew up enjoying, it's phenomenal. I the one I wanted to put on there, but then I realized he's not even good at the sport, is Doug Glatt from Goon. I wanted him in
awful.
There so bad, but he's horrible at the game of hockey. So I just felt, you know, Doug, you're great. And if we ever do guys that shouldn't have played the sport, but somehow we're in the sport, you're number one on my list all day, every day.
Yeah, we'll have to do like a how did you get here award.
Exactly. how he got there, he beat the crap out of everybody.
Yeah, I guess there was a whole two movies about how he got there. I guess I should understand that, Pat.
He beat him up, and he loved corn dogs. So that's all that matters for him.
That is a good life strategy.
Great life strategy. All right, so that's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. As always, we have a great time doing this. Missed it the last couple weeks, so it was nice to get back and start doing this again. We got NFL getting ready to kick off here pretty soon. Guys, before you know it, we're going to be doing college football predictions. We're going to be talking about how Justin Spartans just can't seem to figure out what they're doing. And it'll be a fun experience for us. Guys, football. Heck, hockey's going to be here before you know it. Before you know it, we're going to be right back into the swing of things, and we're not going to have enough time for everything. So while we do have enough time, I want to say thanks to Justin Marcus.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. I know what team I play for, even though I might not know where other guys play for.
As long as you know where you are, Jay, that's all we care about. Russ Ivanek, the stat man, we give him something as simple as movie athletes, and he already breaks down the stats for him. He knows what they did. He's right there on everything.
Oh, I'm a sucker for a sports science. It's almost all nonsense, but I love it so much.
That's all that matters, man. That's all that matters. And as always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. One small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.